And welcome back to week 11 of the Left Coast Gamblers. Tony Cavallo, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer, Crookson, Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio. We got a big show for you. It's getting close. It's getting to November. We had games with a little snow drizzlings last week. A little bit of snow falling down in these games.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas football.
Ooh, it's getting good. So
more like playoff football, I should say.
This show is all about the playoffs.
Post-Halloween football.
This show is all about the playoffs. We're going to be breaking down the playoff picture and where the teams stand right now and where those teams that are in the hunt, what they have to get to in order to put themselves into the playoff picture as we go along. Dangles is going to give us some fun bets in the King of the Coast rankings where he still barely has units left to play with. Dangles, you're coming back though this week. I'm feeling it.
Can I buy back in if I spend all my units before the end of the season?
Negative. If you lose all your units, you're just become the automatic dealer. You're shuffling the cards for us and dealing to me and Drew.
Great.
Schaefer the Sharp, however, in the King of the Coast rankings is debuting a new segment for this show. We are going to gambling school, Drew. You're going to teach me and Dangles and the listeners, because you've been want to do it the past few weeks, yelling at people for stupid moves. Now
yes.
I'm going to give you a whole segment to let your
fly. I'm so glad we're doing this 11 weeks into the NFL season after I've wasted half of my bankroll.
It's basically going to be like a trade program, you know, kind of like a NASM personal training certification. Very quick, but you're going to learn a lot.
I like it.
I'm looking forward to
coming
to the classroom.
I like it a lot. We also have the pick'em section coming later in the show where yours truly has taken the crown as the leader, but I'll tell you, it was not a good week for anybody. We also have gravestones. We put a team into the ground saying they won't make the playoffs, and we have a very special guest joining us for some segments of the show. We'll introduce him later, but right now we got to break down these playoff teams because it's starting to get there, guys. The bye weeks are starting to end. All these teams now have the same records as we're going in, and these teams that were undefeated, that had no wins, now they're moving back to the middle of the pack, and we start to see how this breaks down. So, our goal right now in the opening of this show with Dangles and Drew is I'm going to paint you guys the verbal picture of the season standings right now. I'm going to tell you where the playoff picture is in both the NFC and the AFC. And I want us to decipher right now what the magic number is for all these teams that are so-called in the hunt. My favorite graphic in all of sports is showing those teams who are in the hunt. And our goal right now is to tell you how many losses you need to make the playoffs. And if you have X amount of losses over, so sorry, your season's done in November. So, let's start with the NFC because I think it's a little bit easier to figure out than the AFC. The first two teams start off with your San Francisco 49ers, previously undefeated San Francisco 49ers, losing to this last Monday Night Football game, one of the best games I've seen all season long, overtime game with the Seahawks. Drew's shaking his head because he had San Fran everywhere, but your boy, Tony Cavallo, had the Seahawks and they pulled through. Number two is also your boy's team, the Green Bay Packers at 8-2. The third seed right now is another good team, the Saints at 7-2, and the Cowboys sitting at 5-4, stealing that division from the Eagles, who are also at 5-4. Put that NFC East over to the side. The Eagles and the Cowboys, they're going to be fighting for themselves. We're not going to talk about them in this section of the podcast because we're going to have weeks to decipher who wins the NFC East and gets that fourth seed. The two wildcard teams, however, are interesting. The Seattle Seahawks, who just beat those San Francisco 49ers, are the 5 seed at 8-2. And the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings are 7-3 as the sixth seed. The Minnesota Vikings guys have the second best point differential in the NFC, second only to those previously undefeated San Francisco 49ers. And also, out of all the teams I just named, Minnesota Vikings are the only ones who are undefeated at home and have six more games remaining, four of which are still at home. What I'm trying to say with all of that is, those five teams, other than the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, those five teams are going to be very hard for the teams who are so-called in the hunt to catch. Okay, the in-the-hunt teams right now, the Rams, Panthers, Bears, 5-4, 5-4, 4-5, and finally your Lions at 3-5-1.
Don't insult us with being in the hunt, Tony. Don't insult us. We're not in the hunt. We're in the grass.
This is where I wanted to start. Is those Lions and trying to find the number that you need to get to in order to make the playoffs. With the Vikings at 7-3, with the Seahawks at 8-2, do you think a 3-5-1 team like the Lions, let's say they win out, that's 10-5-1. Do you think that's enough to make the playoffs? Because I don't know if I do.
Are we doing gravestones now or are we saving that for
later?
Saying. Okay, thanks. Well, thanks for just rubbing the
By
old...
The way, the Lions have the Cowboys, the Redskins, the Bears, the Vikings, the Buccaneers, the Broncos, and the Packers.
Guys,
left.
This is simple math.
Yes.
The minimum wins it'll take to get in the playoffs in the NFC is going to be 10 wins. The Vikings are 7-3. I don't anticipate them being worse than 500 the last six games. That puts them at 10 wins. 10 wins minimum to get the playoffs. So if you're asking me if the Lions went out at 10-5-1 and beat Chicago and beat Green Bay mm-hmm. and beat Minnesota, mm-hmm. yes, I will put them in the playoffs at 10-5-1 if they win out. Our boy Jeff Driscoll, I'm not sure he's going to lead us to the promised land, though, Tony.
I don't think so either, but you're saying 10-5-1 gets you in the playoffs. I have to disagree with you.
You think 11?
I think it must be 11-5. Because okay. if you look at who they have to catch, the Vikings and the Seahawks, yes, the Vikings and the Seahawks play each other. They also play those two other teams that are leading their division. But even if Minnesota loses those two tough matchups, that's still an 11-5 team with the rest of their schedule. Seahawks are the same way. The Rams and the Panthers have a lot of games left, Dangles, and a lot of games against these top-tier teams. Do you think, like me, 11-5 is the must-have, or do you think a team can lose six and still make it?
I think a 10-6 team could probably make it into the playoffs and edge out the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, I don't know if they're as good of a team as everybody makes them out to be.
Dangles, really quick, let's go to the AFC, because this is a cluster.
This is a different story.
The only team I care about is already in.
Patriots and Ravens. Patriots and Ravens are looking good. Patriots 8-1, Ravens 7-2 and on fire. The third seed right now is the Houston Texans, coming off the bye and getting better as they did. The 6-3 Houston Texans, big game this week, however. Four seed Kansas City Chiefs losing and losing and losing at home, with or without Mahomes. The fifth seed right now are your Buffalo Bills at 6-3, falling fast. And the sixth seed, somehow, some way,
don't ask me how,
Mason Rudolph and the Pittsburgh Steelers win a tiebreaker to get a sixth seed. Here's the thing, guys. I'm going to spoil it right now. I think if you go 10-6, you're in the playoffs in the AFC, a little bit different than the NFC. If you go to 9-7, however, I think a 9-7 team makes it, and I think there's going to be a lot of tiebreakers involved. Because the teams that are in the hunt, Raiders, Colts, 5-4 each, Titans 5-5, only because they've played more game, and the Titans are hotter than anybody right now with Ryan Tannehill behind them.
3-1 since Tannehill's been a quarterback.
And, well, let's not take away from Derrick Henry either, who's an absolute monster.
Played great.
But you cannot overlook either the Jaguars, who are 4-5 with Nick Foles coming back and have a chance to beat teams in their division to climb up these rankings. The Chargers at 4-6 with the same way. Even the Browns and the Broncos, as crappy as those teams are, have paths to the playoffs here. I'm kicking the Jets out. Other than, I don't know what Sam Darnold was thinking. Yeah. I'm kicking the Jets out.
They're
but there's
keeping
so many
Gase
teams.
Too. That's a dumb decision.
There's so many teams that can jump up and take over the Steelers and the Bills, and all these teams will play each other. You guys know how I feel about the Bills. I see the Bills falling. Instead of asking what number do you think these AFC teams can be, pick one of those in-the-hunt teams that you think can take over the Steelers and the Bills.
Oh, well, it's funny, Tony. I actually was, on the way here, I was thinking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. I've been down on them the whole year. Do you realize, I just did the math very quickly, they're four losses. They're four losses. The teams they've lost to, their combined record, 31-6.
Yeah.
Are they kind of good? Because they don't pass the eye test for me. They suck.
No.
Their offense is terrible. Now, Minkah Fitzpatrick, how about this? 21 explosive plays through the first 3 weeks for the Steelers. Since Minkah's been there, they have 13 in the last six games.
I still think
it's unbelievable.
That is an incredible stat. My favorite stat involving Minkah Fitzpatrick is that he has two touchdowns this year to Odell Beckham Jr.'s one.
Yeah.
Saying that, I don't buy them for a playoff team. I do not buy them.
I do because of their defense.
Yeah.
Third in DVOA right now. Third in DVOA. New England and San Fran are the top two, and they're playing cupcakes. Pittsburgh has had a crazy hard schedule, and they're still doing what they're doing.
Well, and let me put another feather in that cap, because they have had a crazy hard schedule, but the rest of the way is pretty much cake. The Browns, the Bengals, the Browns, the Cardinals, the Bills, the Jets, and then the Ravens. The Ravens are the only team I'm truly concerned about.
And they'll
about
have a bye
that,
in week 17 and probably rest.
Yeah, so with that schedule looking out, and I'm looking at some of these other teams that could maybe bounce them out, the Raiders do not have a good stretch. They have to play the Chiefs, the Jaguars, the Chargers, and the Broncos, just to name a couple.
See, I was going the complete opposite. I like Pittsburgh. I think Buffalo is the team that falls because of the schedule they have. I see four losses on that remaining schedule, which would bring them to 9-7. I see Oakland sneaking in because Oakland has a lot of games in Oakland, and they're playing better than people think. I think Oakland sneaks in as the sixth seed.
I think the obvious choice here would clearly be the Colts with a healthy Jacoby Brissett and T.Y. Hilton. I think if they get them back, I still think they're a threat with the division, with the Texans having to play the Ravens this Sunday in Baltimore. I still like the Colts very much to get in the playoffs, but it's obviously so contingent on the health of their starting quarterback. Brian Hoyer was embarrassing, by the way, and I had the Dolphins. He was embarrassing, very bad.
Even with Jacoby Brissett, you got to look at who they're playing. Their worst team that they're playing is at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 3-6. Otherwise, everyone's in division and close to 500 or above for the Colts. It's tough sledding for almost everybody. The Titans have a ridiculously hard schedule coming up.
Yeah.
Look for them to fall apart. But again, my pick is Oakland. Do you guys have a team you want to throw out there?
I'll take the Colts.
I like the Titans to be sneaky, I guess. if we're going to keep things different up. I mean, look, you know, Ryan Tannehill has been very good. Derrick Henry has been very good. That defense has been consistent all year long. Mike Vrabel's got them playing at a high level. I think they could be sneaky, just as sneaky as the Colts or the Raiders.
All right, let's move on to the next section. We talked about the Lions and the NFC breakdown of the playoff picture, and we kind of wrote them off, but we brought in a heavy, heavy Detroit Lions fan. Daytime TV star Brett Green is here with us today. Very excited to talk to him about the NFL.
Say Schaefer the Sharp's best buddy.
Schaefer the Sharp's best buddy. Bro. He's a returning guest on this podcast. He does love those Detroit Lions, and he's here to talk about those Lions and also talk about one of the best bets he's ever made in his life, the biggest win he's had. But first, Brett, welcome back.
Oh, thank you so much. Guys, the show is incredible. I was here last year, and I love the new spin. I love the gambling aspect of it. This degenerate gambler to my left here has taught me everything I know about about gambling. Yeah, we go to Vegas a couple times a year, and I'm always asking Drew for advice on what I should do, and I don't listen to any of it. I usually steer clear, go the other way.
Yeah,
of course.
But yeah, no, I love being here. Thanks for having me.
Now, I take it you're more of a you're not like the seasoned gambler that Drew is. You're not betting on everything, but if it's available to you, you'll take a run at something.
Right. So I started gambling in college, thanks to him, on Bodog. Bodoglife.com, I believe it was back in the day.
Of course, I know Bodog Life.
Yeah, yes. And so I started gambling. I was to the point where I was gambling on, like, you know, you get addicted, you win, and you want to keep going.
Oh, yeah,
I was gambling
going
on, like, regular season NBA games.
No,
rooting for,
boy.
Like,
yikes.
Missed free throws.
Yep,
I'm just like,
trouble.
Oh, dude, that's, I'm like, I got to take a look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Not like the most experienced gambler in the world, but, you know, I'm like anybody. I love winning a buck, especially if it's on a football game. So. I'm into it.
Now, if you go home in Michigan or if you're living out here in California and they start to legalize this stuff, it starts to become available at your everyday bar, your everyday restaurant, your everyday sports bar, do you see yourself as going to watch, like, the Monday Night Football game and throwing a $5 bill down on the side of the over or something like that?
Absolutely.
See,
absolutely. If I can make a bet at a bar, or, I mean, even I heard the other day at the new stadium, they're going to have, like, a sports book in the new stadium. It was like, yeah. I mean, that
I
sounds...
I mean, shit, dude. If they did that, you could get me to bet.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, that's you know,
you're there.
I think part of it is
saying.
Part of it is the
I do
is
want
to
be Vegas.
How difficult it is to, you know, when you go to Vegas, you go to a sports book, you make your bet. It's so easy.
Yeah.
Here you got to have a guy, you got to know a site, you got to, you know what I mean, it's just a little tricky.
Yeah.
So if they made it a little easier where it was literally like, here's my cash, take my bet, and if I win, let me get my money. Like that would be the coolest thing ever.
And you go to Schaefer the Sharp School of Gambling.
That's right. let me just say this one quick thing about Brett here. Recently got married.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Beautiful,
congrats.
beautiful, lovely weekend in La Jolla, San Diego. I was his best man. I asked if anyone else is available. He didn't answer that question, but, you know, I said absolutely.
He was the best man for the day.
How long was that speech? 8.5 minutes?
I got down to six. It was long, yeah. It was good, though.
Down to six. I was prepared. You know,
my
notes.
Dad took a bullet. My dad actually made his speech even shorter so Drew could have more time.
That's right. He did, and he referenced that. He said, I'm going to get off the stage so Drew can have more time. I appreciate that. Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, Drew's got a 7-minute comedy set he's got for you.
So
I'm going to test out some material here.
I've known Brett for over a dozen years now. I wish I could count how many times he has informed me either in person or in text or over the phone how he is, quote unquote, I'm done caring about this shit, man. I'm done with the Lions. It's just, it's not worth it. You know, they don't do anything for you. You know, every year. And then this year, of all things, we lose that game. The opening weekend, we're in Vegas at his bachelor party.
Yep.
Mr. Balzerini was very kind. He bought Brett a $100 money line ticket on that game. They ended up tying. Yep. I do explain to Brett, no, on a money line ticket, you don't push for a tie. That's a loss.
That's
you got to win.
Flat loss.
So that was kind of a bummer. And he said, I'm done with this shit, bro. I'm done with it. Little did we know, we got him back in. And, of course, on my birthday, a couple weeks later, the Monday night game, Tony, you were there. He has since, you know, he's taken more of a recreational
What
hobby.
Game was that on Monday night?
The Lions played the Packers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So
quit too.
It's just funny as a Lions fan, knowing a fellow Lions fan, this is a way of life. Is it not, Brett?
Brett, let me ask about that. I want to jump on that because we've had, in all four sports, we've had teams like the Houston Astros, big team in the news right now, but we've had fan bases that have lost forever, that come up and win that one big one, and finally you're there. As a Detroit Lions fan, you guys have not won a playoff game since barely any of us were born.
Right.
You still wake up before every season with that same glimmer of hope, and I think the true fans always are hoping for that glimmer to be there, and it's hard to have that dashed out every year. Are you willing to jump off the bus and be like, you know what? If Detroit makes a run in 5 years, good for them. I want to be have nothing to do with it. Or do you are you okay with the suffering year in and year out for that hopefully one day at the promised land?
God, when you put it like that. yeah, you have to. I could never in good faith write them off and say I'm never. I mean, I've said it many times where I'm just like, I'm over it.
Yeah.
You know, when the season starts and everybody's 0-0, you're like, all right, this is going to be there's a chance. And not even like this is our year, but it's like, all right, if we win 9, maybe we sneak in, whatever. Yeah. And it's just like every year around like week 6, week 7, you start to realize for the Lions, you're like, it's not happening this year.
Yeah.
You know, and then like they make some stupid push at the end of the year to win enough games to get a shitty draft pick.
Yep.
And it's just like Groundhog Day, man. It's every year it's the same thing. But to answer your question, no. I would never just 100% write them off. I mean, I've given away all my jerseys.
Yes, I know that.
I've sort of stopped caring. I told my wife when we first met, I'm like, yeah, I'm not really a football fan. And then the poor girl's gotta watch the football game with me every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. But there's something about it where I'm like, I have to watch the game. It doesn't matter who they're playing. It doesn't matter how many point dogs they are. I'm like, I got to watch it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm hooked.
I feel you. And especially if it hooks you young, you're there for the rest of your life, whether that team's good or whether that team's bad. But Brett, back to the gambling side of things. Drew and you've been gambling with each other for a while. Sometimes you take bets against your buddy. Me and Drew have had a couple of beer bets on this show. Do you have a story about one of the best bets you've ever made in your life and sort of the comeuppance from it?
Yeah. So Drew and I moved from Michigan to Phoenix, Arizona back in like 2010, I think it was.
2010.
And so, you know, we moved out there just wide-eyed, bushy-tailed, no clue what we were getting ourselves into. Started making pretty good money. We got put up in this amazing penthouse by this really weird boss that we had. and so we were living the life, man. We were like 23 years old, making too much money, didn't have any rent. And so we had some extra money to throw around. And it's the best weekend in Phoenix. It's the Waste Management Open and the Super Bowl in the same weekend.
Wow.
And so we
Big
go
time.
Out. And we're out there at the Waste Management Open just having a freaking blast, you know what I mean? In that environment, there's just something super special about it. So it's that kind of weekend, you know what I mean? My brother and his buddy were supposed to come in for the weekend. My brother last minute couldn't come, but the buddy who none of us knew very well still came.
Random dude hanging out with us.
So he's there, and we're just having a good old time. That was the night of Outback Steakhouse.
Yep, yep.
I got absolutely laid out in a parking lot by my brother's buddy. Just the weirdest weekend. So anyway, it's Super Bowl Sunday. The Patriots are playing the Giants again.
Yep.
I had won money in 2008 on the Super Bowl when
the Giants
won
yep.
with the David Tyree catch on the helmet.
Yep.
And so I was like, you know, I like the Giants in the Super Bowl against the Patriots.
I'm gonna turn my mic down while I mutter.
It's worked out well for me once before. So Drew, being a Tom Brady fanatic, was full on the Gronk train.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. And so Drew's like, I gotta take the Pats on this one. And he was gonna make a bet through a bookie or through something. And I was like, I'll take that action. and Drew's like, well, I was planning on going pretty big. Like I said, we were making a little too much money for that age. And I'm like, how big are you thinking? And Drew's like, I was thinking like 500. And I'm like, okay, I'm an amateur gambler.
Yeah.
But let's roll the dice. Let's do it. So it's just straight up. No, right. It was straight up.
I was, of course, Schaefer the Sharp was getting value because I believe the Patriots were 2.5 point dogs.
Yes.
Or sorry, 2.5 point favorites.
Yes,
they were 2.5 point favorites. Brett goes, I like him straight up. I said, you know, they're the points. He goes, I don't want the points. I said, I in good faith cannot take that bet. So, like gentlemen, we each went to the bank. We pulled out 5 bills. We put it right on the table for us to see. And tell us what happened, Brett.
Money's on the table, and I think you guys know what happened. I actually just watched the highlights before I came here so I could see. Yeah, super
Mario Manningham
super
is what happened.
Mario Manningham made that catch on the sideline.
I remember it well.
It was incredible. But then we were talking earlier. Drew and I had lunch, and I was talking about that Hail Mary at the end of that game when I'm holding my breath because if anybody knows about Hail Marys, it's you. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is the best of all time. But Tom Brady's got an arm too, so he throws this thing up there, and I'm watching it in slow motion today, and I see Aaron Hernandez, rest in peace, up there. He tips the ball, and Gronk makes a diving attempt at it, and it literally, my heart stopped.
It was right
my heart stopped for like a second because I'm like, oh yeah, of course they're gonna win the Super Bowl on a fucking Hail Mary, and luckily they didn't, and here I am, $500 richer. I still have that money.
Yeah, haven't spent it.
it's up on my wall.
It's in a 401k.
But I'll tell you what though. as a guy who lost that bet, it feels so much better giving it to your best buddy. You know, you cut out the middle. It's
did
like,
it,
hey, man.
Did it,
you
know
what?
Dinner's on you, pal.
Did it, though?
I like that story, though. And now, now Brett, we're gonna put you off to the side. You get to listen to us make fools of ourselves a little bit more. We're going to bring you back, however, to make another $500 for your best bet section. You'll be playing the guest host.
$500,000, bro.
All right. Well, and before I go, if I learn anything from the show, no talking about last week, all right? We're looking forward.
That's
looking
right.
Okay, we're not airing our grievances.
Correct. We're always looking forward.
All right.
And Brett will be looking forward to the best bet section, King of the Coast. But up next, gravestones.
Coasters.
And we are back now for the gravestone section. This is the part of the podcast where every host puts a team into the ground each week saying they will not make the playoffs this calendar year. We've had a lot of teams that we've put down. We're in week 11. Right now, the grave pool consists of 8 teams: Washington, Arizona, New York Giants, Atlanta Falcons. We've all killed those teams throughout the weeks. In the AFC, we have the Cincinnati Bengals, Miami Dolphins, New York Jets, and Denver Broncos. Every one of those teams kiboshed. I'm going first this week. Dangles is going second. Drew's going third. It's based on the last week. Pick them that order. The reason we have an order is because once I pick a team, these other two dopes can't pick that team this week. We only do one conference a week, and yours truly is choosing the NFC.
Ooh.
So without any further ado, let's do gravestones. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Holy Mother of Lombardi Church. And as we step up to the pigskin altar to sacrifice another team, I just would like this to be known, that at one point in this fine NFL season, yours truly put money on this team to actually make the playoffs.
Oh, Tony, don't do it to me, bud.
And today, he co-signs that he has lost said bet. In early November.
With our guest here?
BG, I'm happy you're here.
Ouch.
But your Detroit Lions
Ouch.
Are not making the playoffs.
Ouchies.
In 2019. And that is all I have to say about that. Dangles, you're up next, and in the past you've killed the Chicago Bears as well as every team in the grave pool. The field is yours.
Today I'm going to be heading back to my former residence of Florida to kill Bruce Arians and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Ouch.
It's not the year this year, unfortunately, that they hoped it would be. Jameis Winston can't figure out whether he wants to throw 40 touchdowns or 40 interceptions. Might just do both at the end of the season.
Yeah.
But hey, they figured out who their running back is, so that's something.
Ronald Jones. If you would, trade for him in fantasy if you can get him.
Yeah,
pick him off of waivers.
Yeah, could be good.
Drew, you can't touch Tampa. You can't touch Detroit.
Well, that's convenient.
You've already killed the Bears.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Those are my first two choices today, boys, but I guess you should pick more than two winners in the weekly pick'em.
Hard to argue with that logic.
Guys, I have no choice here.
There's a lot of teams left.
I have
no
choice here. I have 2-5-4 teams.
I know what you're going to do.
Of course.
And I think it's
you
smart.
Guys like to sign off. Say, ram it. I'm going to say,
wow.
Cram it.
No,
wow.
I think that's a...
Mr. Goff does a lot of SportsCenter commercials. Very funny. Great chemistry with Linda Cohn. Nice lady I've been watching since I've been a wee boy. Let me tell you, they're dunzo.
Wait.
The Rams are dunzo. And just so you guys know, I worked on Stan Kroenke's fucking yacht last year, and he did not tip me, and I don't like that man.
Wow.
And he took him out of St. Louis. Wow. The Rams are done.
Wow.
They only have a 17% chance of
They're
making
done.
The playoffs, according to ESPN's Football Power
so
Index.
So let's sign off, as we do each week, in gravestones, by saying a good old hearty, ram it.
Lions suck.
And we are back now to full volume, the Left Coast Gamblers, Tony Cavallo, Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer, Crookston. We are now here at the Pick'em section where we pick every game of every week, and we keep our tally throughout the season. So far, Dangles has the best week, only having 3 losses all the way back in week 1. We were hot. We were so hot. We were doing so well. Guys, last week, Last week I won by going 4-9.
Shut up.
That was the best week out of all of us. I went 4-9. You two dopes went 3-10. So we're not allowed this section, this pick'em section, we have a suspension laid down. You are not allowed to give more than one sentence to pick these games because we don't deserve to give our opinion on these games. You
we're
go 3-10. You went 3-10.
We bet. Did I really go 3-10?
3-10.
Oh, Lord. You know,
I bet games, Tony, not teams.
3-10.
All right. Playing for Buffalo Nichols here. You know, now that's fair. That's fair. I don't want to talk after 3-10.
Unless there's a big-ass game that we actually need to dive into and pick apart, one-sentence answers for the pick 'em. You make it good, and if you do well, maybe I'll give you time next week. Start off on Thursday, Dangles.
Interesting. Considering you're not the one controlling the microphones as well. Thursday night, Steelers at the Browns at First Energy Stadium on the water in Cleveland. The Steelers are underdogs in this game,
yes.
By the way.
Yes, they are.
2 points as of the recording of this podcast at the Browns. Again, mentioned earlier in the podcast, Minka Fitzpatrick, the Pittsburgh defensive back, has one more touchdown, double, in fact, the touchdowns that OBJ has this year.
And you just doubled the amount of sentences I was going to allow you to use to pick this game. Now, who do you have winning?
We weren't picking it. I'm taking the Steelers away.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, the Browns stink.
True.
Alligator mouth towards Mike Tomlin, other side, Freddie Kitchens.
What was that, a fucking
Pittsburgh
haiku?
Steelers.
Are you writing a haiku?
Hey, he paid attention.
Thank you, Tony.
I'm picking Cleveland because as we did in the as we pointed out in the beginning of this show with the playoff picture, they lose this game. They're out of the playoff picture. Cleveland's going to win this game at home and upset Pittsburgh, even though they're a favorite right now. That was a run-on sentence.
That was
but
a hell of a run-on,
one
Tony.
Sentence.
Hell of a
next
R-O
game.
There. Impressive, impressive. All right, let's take the 8.5-hour drive south.
Yes.
To Carolina, Charlotte, to be specific, the Queen City. The Falcons are in town at Bank of America Stadium to take on the Panthers, the Cam Newton-less Panthers.
The Panthers have surprisingly one of the worst run defenses in the league, but a guy named Brian Hill ain't going to do anything for Atlanta. Because of that, Carolina's winning this game.
I'm also taking Carolina winning this game. Christian McCaffrey's going to go off.
Dr. Quinn, medicine woman, helps ailing Falcons. Falcons fly.
I believe that means he's picking Atlanta. Dangles, next game.
All right, next up we have the Dallas Cowboys in Detroit at Ford Field in front of Martha to take on the Lions. Oh, I got the two Detroit fans loving that.
In front of Martha.
Honestly, Drew and BG, if Jeff Driscoll didn't lose the season last week, I really think Detroit has a chance to win this game against Dallas.
You
I
think?
Do want to spend a little bit of time breaking this down. This is obviously Detroit's season, even though we talked about how they don't have a chance, even if they went out to make these playoffs according to our calculations. But do you think Detroit, am I the only one sitting here going Detroit has a chance to win this game?
Jeff Driscoll
plays, it's over. If Matt Stafford comes back, there's a chance. The game's off the board right now in Vegas because they don't know who's playing.
Well, he's got broken bones in his back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're 3-5-1. What good does it do to play him?
Right, right. I mean, it doesn't
do well
to play him, but if he can play and he wants to play,
if he can
they
play,
can
of
beat
course
this Dallas
they can
team.
Win. Of course, he's just not going to play.
Okay.
I guess it depends on where Matt Patricia's mindset is, right?
Okay.
If I know Matt Patricia, he probably doesn't want to lose. I think Matt Stafford's going to play if he's able to play, even though his back isn't where it needs to be. So with that said, I'm still going to take Dallas.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be sour about the way they lost that game to Minnesota, and they're going to win.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Dallas as well because it looks like it's going to be Driscoll. Drew?
Broken bones equals broken hearts in the Motor City. Cowboys.
You sound like Kevin Malone from The Office when he decides like not to use as many words. When me president, they see. They see.
He's just following rules. He's
I'm
just
not even speaking
rules.
When it's not my turn, Dangles. I'm just going for it.
Dangles, what's next? What's the mileage here?
I didn't do the mileage from Detroit to Indianapolis. That's okay. Maybe like 400. 400 miles. I don't know. It's an AFC South matchup. The Jaguars at the Colts.
Even with Jacoby, I'm picking Nick Foles to come back and win this game. Look for the Jaguars to make a late season run. Jacksonville.
Now that vaunted defense doesn't exist anymore. Jacoby's back and he's going to go nuts all over him. Give me the Colts.
Drew, break the tie.
Big Dick Nick, flaccid in return. Go horse.
Drew, we might have you just do this the rest of the season.
No. This is the only way you're allowed to pick games anymore.
Dangles, what's next?
All right, another division matchup. This time it's the AFC East. The Buffalo Bills are at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami taking on the Dolphins.
I might be talking about this game a little bit later, but right now let's take Buffalo.
Yeah, definitely Buffalo.
A marine mammal facing a bison on land dies. Buffalo.
God.
Okay. All right.
Daggles, okay. Back to you.
Fantastic. All right. Let's hop on I-95, go north exactly 1,100 miles.
Exactly.
Isn't it weird how that works out? Huh. Exactly 1,100 miles to Baltimore, M&T Bank Stadium.
Good game.
The hottest team in the NFL right now, Lamar Jackson. He's got women's knees weak, men wearing sunglasses, wearing number 8 jerseys. This guy's the toast of the NFL right now. The Texans are in town with their own mobile quarterback who can do magical things too. Yep. Who wins this one?
Feel free to talk about this game because this is a big one when it comes down to the AFC. Both these teams, in my opinion, are playoff teams and will be playing again in January. But in this situation, Houston coming off a bye going into Baltimore, it looks like Houston has a chance here, but Baltimore is the hottest team in the world. They might be the hottest team in the NFL. I'm picking Lamar Jackson to continue to wow, and I think the Lamar Jackson versus Russell Wilson debate is going to control the rest of this year. These two guys are the best players in the world right now, and they're going to be vying for that MVP. Lamar wins this game, although Deshaun puts up a fight. Baltimore.
I'm going to take the Ravens at home. I just think I think Jackson's too much of an X factor. Nobody's been able to figure him out yet. There have been teams that have been able to figure out Deshaun Watson. The answer is sack the guy. He won't do anything. Like that's how you fix a problem. We haven't figured out how to stop Lamar Jackson. They haven't figured out how to freaking tackle the guy.
Yeah.
So I think the Ravens again are just they're just feeling themselves right now at every level of football.
Ravens land on horns of Texans. Signifying they'll be on top.
We need someone that speaks in tongues to come in here and translate for us. Dangles, I believe he took Baltimore.
I think that was Baltimore.
So let's move forward.
Okay, next up we've got the Denver Broncos at the boat in Minneapolis taking on the Purple People Eaters and the Vikings.
I hope Minnesota proves me right the way I've talked about them in the beginning of the podcast and doesn't overlook this team, but they're going to win.
Yeah, I think they're going to win as well. I did say they weren't as good as everybody thinks they are, but I think they're better than this Broncos team.
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook is very fast. Vikings.
Moving on, we have the New York Jets at the Washington Redskins.
Oof.
Yeah.
Woof.
I do not want to watch this game. Woof. This game will not be getting rotated in on Red
Sunday ticket. No, it won't. I actually did some research on this game because I was looking to pick it. But I will say the Jets, as bad as they are, have the 11th ranked DVOA rush defense. And all Washington wants to do is run the ball with Darius Geis, and Dwayne Haskins is not going to be able to get any room whatsoever. The Jets win this game running away.
Yeah, I think the Jets win this one too.
Sam Darnold, as Dangle stated, puts his mouth on something.
Don't put your mouth on stuff.
Dangles, what's next?
All right, so the last of the morning slate, or I suppose early afternoon slate if you're watching on the East Coast. And it is an NFC South matchup between the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
God,
at
what
Ray
an
J.
egg. What an egg New Orleans laid. That was miserable. There's no chance they do that 2 weeks in a row, New Orleans.
They can't, right? They did, I believe, just lose one of their top offensive lineman Andrus Pete to a broken arm, which is going to sideline him. I think I read 6 weeks.
That's a big one.
Which is definitely huge. A lot of the New Orleans success obviously rests on protecting Drew Brees, making sure he doesn't get hit and giving him time to make those throws. I still think New Orleans is the better team here, even on the road in front of probably a raucous Bucks crowd. They're not going to win.
Big run on sentence by Dangles. What do you got, Drew?
No risk it, no biscuit. Tampa Bay.
No chance New Orleans loses 2 weeks in a row, Drew. No chance.
I can't imagine.
That'll work out as well as your Cincy Bengals
Imagine that's happening. All right.
Dangles?
Let's move on to the afternoon slate, and we begin with Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals against Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers coming off a loss that they really just shouldn't have. They must be kicking themselves this week because they know they had that game in the bag.
Yeah. My fourth best bet of the week, however, is Arizona plus 11.5 because I think Arizona is frisky. However, they're not going to win this game after San Fran's not getting surprised 2 weeks in a row. San Fran wins.
No, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be upset. Is upset. I think he said on record about how he played last week.
He was terrible.
Is he upset?
They're not gonna,
he was terrible.
He was terrible. They're not going to lose again, 49ers.
I hate San Francisco, but I do think they will win.
San Fran. A lot of these games, guys, we're trying to make this quick, but a lot of these games are the same. We never do well when we all pick the same.
No,
Dangles, what's next?
Not good. All right, next up, a much shorter journey than we're used to taking, gentlemen. We're only driving a half an hour from Levi's Stadium to the Oakland County Coliseum, where we find the Cincinnati Bengals taking on the Oakland Raiders.
Oakland.
Yeah. Next.
Oakland.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Drew. Last game of the afternoon slate. Cannot wait for this. The New England Patriots at the Philadelphia Eagles. We have a rematch of the Super Bowl from 2 years ago. Taking the Patriots here. This is a revenge game for them. Absolutely, 100%. They're also a way better team, and I don't think Carson Wentz is going to be able to navigate that defense. They're coming off the bye. They're feeling fresh. Jamie Collins was doing backflips off of mats in practice this week. Be afraid, Philadelphia Eagles. You are going to lose by a lot.
Hell of a handicap, Dangles.
Drew, you want to go?
Yeah. Coming off a bye. Well, coming off a bye after a straight-up loss, I pretty much haven't lost. So, New England Patriots.
One team wants this more. To borrow a quote from a phrase from one of my favorite content people out there, Dave Portnoy, hungry dogs run faster. Philly's going to surprise people in this game. Philly's a well-put-together team. Their pass defense is terrible, but Carson Wentz can actually play the game and will beat this New England defense.
Wow.
I'm picking Philly
All right.
to win.
All
Shocks
right.
me, the dude.
Interesting. Yep. Very, very, yep. very interesting.
Tell me how I haven't heard that phrase before, hungry dogs run faster. Every time I lay a dog down, I'm just going to bark that at the TV. Hungry dogs run faster!
Hungry dog runs faster, baby.
I love that.
Sunday night.
We love you, Prez. All right, Sunday night, it's the Chicago Bears taking on the recently killed by Drew Los Angeles Rams, 17% to make the playoffs, Los Angeles Rams. This was supposed to be a much better game, yeah. I think, when the NFL made this schedule. This was supposed to be two insane defenses going at yeah. it, two great offensive minds. Not to take anything away from Matt Nagy and Sean McVay, because they are great offensive minds, but these two teams have not performed up to par this year. I'm still taking the Los Angeles Rams to win this one. I just think they're the better football team.
I'm done taking the Los Angeles Rams everywhere. I think the wow. Los Angeles Rams are...
Even to the point where you'll take the Bears and Mitch Trubisky.
I think the Los Angeles Rams are our name alone right now. We want them to be great. We want McVay to come back and have this offense be ticking, because we saw greatness. We saw actual greatness with this team last year. We keep expecting it to come back. Guys, we're 10 weeks, 11 weeks into the season. This Rams team is not the Rams team from barely a year ago. It's not the same team. Chicago is going to win this game because the Rams are no better than a 500 team in Chicago. Again, hungry dog runs faster. I hate Mitch Trubisky. I think he sucks. They're going to win this game.
This is bad, you guys.
Drew,
if he's willing to take the Bears and just completely give up on the Rams.
There's nothing to give up on.
No.
They're an empty team. They're an empty team.
That's bad.
Gurley is not the same anymore, and it ruins the whole deal. Brandon Cooks has nothing to take the top off the defense. Ruins the whole deal.
And
Cooper
you saw
Kupp didn't catch a ball last
balls,
week.
Yeah.
He's the best, one of the best receivers in the land. If the offense doesn't have the assets to make the defense guess what they're doing, they're a wipe away. Jared Goff can't beat him alone. I'm sorry. Chicago wins. Drew, break the tie.
Los Angeles Rams, because I have to.
Dangles, where is this game on Monday?
Well, let me tell you, Tony. It's hard to breathe. Don't drink the water.
Down in the mix of Cali.
Yes,
who wants a Corona
indeed.
With a lime? I do. Chips and salsa,
we're
Corona with a lime.
We're going back to Estadio Azteca.
Yep. To talk about a great game.
What should be a really fun
game.
What should be a really fun game. Maybe the game of the week besides Patriots-Eagles. It is the Kansas City Chiefs at the Los Angeles Chargers.
A very fun
quote,
game.
Quote-unquote at the Los Angeles Chargers.
In Mexico
Chargers.
City.
Los Chiefs y Los Chargers.
It seems so long ago, that Thursday night game against the Raiders and Chargers. I love this tweet I saw. The last drive that the Chargers had, it said, "It looks like Philip Rivers is making up plays in the huddle."
Listen, the Chargers are in trouble. The Chargers are in trouble. They are also in that need-to-win mode. They love playing these Chiefs. They always play them straight up, no matter what the records are of these teams. However, even with Studio Azteca and those ravenous fans ready for some American football to come down, there's no chance this game is even close. I am picking Pat Mahomes to go down to Mexico and spread the good word of the American football and win the game so bad against these shitty, shitty Chargers. They've been talked to go to L.A. They've been talked to go to London. After this game, they might stay in Mexico and play the rest of their slate there. It's all over. Dangles?
Yeah. So I'm where you're at, with the Los Angeles Chargers. I am with the Chargers where you're at with the Rams, should say. I'm over it. I'm done. I'm done with this team. They have no identity. They're fucking boring to watch. Phil Rivers is terrible. We're going to find him in a honky-tonk down in Mexico drinking a shot for every one of his fucking children after the end of all this. He's awful. That team is awful. The Chiefs are winning. Fuck you guys.
Andy Reid more than likely crushes Taco Tuesdays. The Chiefs.
And with that, that is the Pick'em section, and we'll go now to the King of the Coast. And we are back now, the Left Coast Gamblers. The Left Coast Gamblers, we make our money and we make you money on this show because every week we give you three best bets. Each host gives you three best bets for the NFL slate, and we play a season-long game. Started off with 100 units and are playing with those units throughout the season to see who can make the most money and make you money in return. Dangles, don't listen to Dangles right now unless he's talking about the Patriots, because Dangles is now down to 73.5 units as the novice better, the newbie, the one just touching, trotting, treading into the water of betting. Dangles, you got anything to say for yourself before we move forward? 73.5 units on the year.
I mean, I've never sold myself as the betting one on this podcast. Listen to me for football advice, not for betting advice. But I'm learning as I go along. And I don't feel bad about the bets that I've made. I think I've had some really bad beats this year. I feel like I've made some smart bets and I've gotten screwed on a couple of them by the Detroit Lions.
Oh, for example, Dangles, how about all of us? Can I talk now, Tony?
No.
You don't ever put a muffler in shave of the sharp. If, in case you didn't know, I was fucking talking in one sense, it was killing me. So I'm hoping you're glad that I can talk now freely, and the training wheels are off. You do not put a muffler on Shaver the Sharp. We don't bet the Lions with Jeff Driscoll, guys. All three of us bet him. Now, we record this on Wednesday nights because we want to have it in your ears by Thursday to give you ready for the weekend. We don't know. We don't know, Lions. Tell us that Stafford might not play because he's got,
they are actually investigating that, are they not?
Yeah, they should be. He's got broken vertebrae in his back.
And you're telling me they didn't know by Wednesday?
I'm sorry. I'm elevated. I'm just saying, don't feel bad about the Lions bet, Dangles, and don't hate the Lions for it. It's not their fault.
I don't hate the Lions for it. I just hate the world for it happening.
Brett texts me on Sunday. He goes, Jeff Driscoll? Question mark.
9:59 a.m. I found out that Stafford.
I legitimately thought he was still with the Bengals.
I was like, what?
So that's not. I was starting Lions players in fantasy. So
it was bad.
I agree. Some bad beats, but also some bad luck. That's just bad luck. We don't know that. That's ridiculous. Yeah. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Now that Drew has aired his grievances once again.
Thank you.
Schaefer the Sharp, you said I put a muffler on you. I believe you put the muffler on yourself going 3-10. You are doing better on the season. King of the Coast, you're up to 127 units. We both lost units the last 2 weeks. I am at 131 units, barely ahead of you. Now is the time to make some money, though. But before we go down that road, I want to introduce a new segment to this show. Drew's been complaining for weeks about people hitting the pratfalls of everyday gambling. He wants to lay out some rules, so let's take a quick trip to the Schaefer the Sharp Gambling School.
Bankroll management, gentlemen. I gave out a couple long shot teasers. Don't ask me why I decided to put the Cincinnati Bengals +16.5. My advice would be you can play the Bengals if they're 99-point teaser.
Yep.
If the Bengals are 99-point teaser, play them. This is my advice. I had three top bet sides last week that two or three winners. Now, over long term, that's going to make you money. I had my best bet, the Tampa Bay Bucks. I had the Miami Dolphins, a 10-point dog win straight up against the Indianapolis Colts. And I had the San Francisco 49ers laying 6.5. That was a loser. However, 2-1, that over a period of time is going to make you money. Mm. What I did, though, incorrectly, and what a lot of people do, is it's fun to make a parlay. It's fun to have a lot of teasers. Those are not going to be profitable over time. Play sides, play totals. If you want to put a little to win a lot, that's one thing. I just think bankroll management is very important. For example, if you put $100 on a parlay last week, the Falcons, the Dolphins, the Titans, the Steelers, the Vikings, the Jets, all those teams won. Did they not?
Yeah, and you'd be an insane person to take that parlay.
What did $100 pay out? Anyone want to guess?
I'd probably say $3,200.
Okay, well, it paid out $198,000. It paid out just south of $200,000. But
no one in their right mind would gamble on that.
My example is real. Those are the odds of winning that bet.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
A six-team money line parlay, $100 paid out just south of $200,000. Now, that guy, God bless him, or lady, I'm sure he's doing great. But I'm saying consider those odds when making those long shot parlays.
And that was Drew's Gambling School, brought to you by the letter G.
Yes, thank you, Drew. Bankroll management is huge, and it pays attention to this game, too. We have so many units to spend. You got to make sure you're making the right spend, right bets on the right teams, but also what you're spending makes sense. I went 2-3 last week, only went to even, though, because the two ones I win didn't add up to the max bet that I lost. Try to be better, try to make you money. But we do have BG back in the studio, in the booth. He's ready to play along with the guest host pick, and we give you 10 units, and you got to spend these 10 units on a bet. Right now, TJ, Thomas Jones Wortham, senior NBA analyst. We told him to bet NFL games, and he didn't do well. He ended up losing 6 units on the week, on the week.
I'm pretty sure that was the week they got spanked by the Niners, too, so it was insult
not
to injury.
Not a good week. So, BG, you got that big of a mountain to climb, but let's go. You've heard us do all the pick'ems. You've heard us argue over the games, but you know the lines in front of you. Where are you spending your 10 units, my buddy?
Well, I'm playing with house money. So, that being said, when I
Brett, real quick, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but before you make your bet, just realize this: you're our second guest host. To actually outperform our first guest host, your best bet is going to have to lose straight up by less than 38 points.
Enough beating up TJ, Drew.
Okay,
enough.
Sorry.
Because he said the thing about your nipples, you've been angry
about
him ever since.
I was going to say, TJ's just bitter about the nipple thing.
You've been angry about him ever since. Let him die.
I'm sorry. You can cut that out.
All right. So I'm playing with house money.
Yeah.
When I go to Vegas, I do parlays. That's all I do.
Me too.
Because I'm like, listen, I got a little bit of money.
Yep.
I want to win a lot of bit of money. How do I do it? I parlay this shit.
So clearly you didn't go to Drew's gambling school.
I did not, no.
It's okay, though. I'm
going to do exactly the opposite of what Drew just told you to do.
Me too.
So, that being said, here's my three-team parlay for this week.
Mm.
I was originally going to go with Dallas, but I realized they took that game off the board. It's not fair. I'm not going to pick that game.
Okay.
Wow.
But I still would take Dallas if you're listening.
Uh-huh.
Now, my three-team parlay. I'm going to take...
A three-team?
Three-team.
Okay.
All 10 units.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm going to take those sneaky Pittsburgh Steelers to cover against Cleveland. I've got them 3-point.
Yep.
Dogs.
Okay.
I like
Steelers
that.
Steelers plus three.
And then I'm going to go with... Knock on wood if you're with me. I'm going to go with the Oakland Raiders
because
the Bengals are terrible. And I like the Raiders.
Yeah.
I really do. Not only because I have them in your pool, but I just think I watched Hard Knocks. I like Derek Carr. Gruden, I could do without. Mm. But I think that they are a good team, and I also just think Cincinnati is awful.
Yes, I'm looking at
an 8-point spread. Is that what you guys are looking at?
Minus 8. I got minus 10.5 over here.
You know what? That's okay. I'll take that.
Sure?
I will take that.
Okay.
I got the Raiders 10.5. And then my last...
Love it.
My last game to
next
round out...
Be betting the best number.
To round out the parlay, I'm taking San Francisco to cover against Arizona because I think they are mad as hell about that game. I think they are good. I think Arizona is bad.
Uh-huh.
And I think that this parlay is going to win you a lot of money. So if you're listening and you win on this parlay, hit me up at Brett J. Green.
Mm. I like that.
Any of the social medias you like.
I like that.
And throw me a little
What's the number you have on San Fran? I'm going to guess because of your bookie, it's like minus 2.
it's actually minus 14.
You have 14. I have 11. I'm going to give you 11.
I'll take 11.
You took the extra points
to make up for the Super Bowl bet.
We'll meet in the middle.
Drew, I'll take the minus 11.
So right now, real fast, Drew, let me just put this all together. You have the Pittsburgh Brett's guest pick 'em. He has 10 units to spend. He's taken all 10 units, and he's putting it on the Pittsburgh Steelers plus 3.
Yep.
He's putting it on the Oakland Raiders minus 10.5, and he's putting it on the San Francisco 49ers minus 11. Tie it in a bow, put it all together, 10 units to win, drum roll please, 57 units.
Wow. Let's go. That's
57 units. This would vault him to the top big time. It'd also put, it'd be tough to catch. Tough to catch, 10-unit, three-team parlay. Drew, what do you want to say?
I just was going to ask, Brett, it was your favorite game on the playground in elementary Foursquare?
Very fun game, yes.
That's all I want to know.
Continually not making sense. Shame for the sharp, Drew. Shame for Brixton.
You never played Foursquare as a child?
Let's move on. Of course I played Foursquare. I wasn't thinking about three-team parlays when I did it. Let's move on to the King of the Coast rankings. Dangles, we're going to start with you. 73.5 units. You must spend 20. You max bet is 10. Where are we going trying to make you money and build you back to the top, buddy?
I need to build.
Listen, can I give you a suggestion?
Sure.
You don't do it all at once.
No.
Just win 1 week at a time.
No, that's what I've been trying to do the last couple of weeks. I've been trying to just be slow about it.
Then maybe you should try it all at once.
Well, yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking, which is why I'm starting off with a two-team parlay.
There we go.
Nobody listens to Drew.
Starting off with a two-team parlay, I want Philadelphia to cover against New England. I have them at +4 right now. I still think the Patriots win this game, but I do think the Eagles can cover that spread against the Patriots. It is a hell of a middle, but it's a home game for the Eagles. They're going to want to come out and smack the Pats in the mouth. And if Brady has one of those games where he goes out and he just throws for like 180 yards, it could get close. I still think the defense is going to be too good to hold them off. But I'm taking that +4. I also like Pittsburgh to cover +2.5. I think they're going to win that game. I think they're going to win that game outright, but I'm taking them at +2.5.
We gave Brett 3. We're going to give you 3. Pittsburgh +3.
Pitt for 3. Okay, fine. I'll still take them at a field goal. I think they win by more than that. So that's a 6-unit bet I'm making to win 16.
Woohoo! 6-16. Damn.
Okay.
Damn.
I like the money there.
Philly +4, Pittsburgh +3. He's tying them together. 6 to win 16. He's trying to shoot himself back up the rankings. I will say, I always say don't take Thursday games because you don't know what's going to happen, but I've won my last 3 Thursday bets, so now I don't know what to think.
It's hard.
You do you, Dangles. I can't coach against you. Drew, you got 127 units to play with. What's your first bet of the week?
Guys, to keep it friendly, I was going to go a couple sides here. I do want to do one teaser for you folks.
Unbelievable. Gambling school, he doesn't even listen to his own school.
You know what? You just convicted me. Fuck that teaser. I'm not doing it anymore. If I had to give out a teaser, it'd be Houston +10.5, Tampa Bay +12.5, and the Dolphins +13. I'm not giving that as an official bet. My first bet. I'm going to stay right here in Los Angeles, folks.
Uh-huh.
And I am going to the Sunday night game versus the Chicago Bears and the Los Angeles Rams. If I wasn't, I did not get to speak during Pick'em, as you all heard. But I will say what I saw from the Rams is alarming.
Yeah.
Alarming. Their offensive line is in shambles. Gurley is clearly a shell of himself. Obviously, with having Cooks out, they can key more on Cooper Kupp, my boy, who was shut out. Goff looks like a complete dumpster fire. On the other side, you have the Bears, completely inept. Jeff Driscoll played better in the first half than Mitch Trubisky, easily. Lions could have won that game with Jeff Driscoll.
Yep.
The Bears suck. These teams suck.
Yep.
Over under on this game, I'm going with the total. The total's 40. Now, that's a dreaded number to take because you can always have that 20-20 overtime tie. I don't care. I'm taking the under.
Wow.
Both these teams played about 23 points last year. I can see this being a 21-10 game, a 17-12 game, something nasty and gross. Give me the under 40 Sunday night, Chicago Bears versus Los Angeles Rams, and I am betting 5 units.
Wow. Okay, Chicago LA Rams under 40 for 5 units. I like that too. I think it's going to be an ugly game as well. I'm going to Monday night, however. We just talked about this game with the underlay of down in Mexico. Know what that means when it's down in Mexico? It means that neither of these teams are truly a home team. They're both going to be traveling. They're both going to be sleeping in hotels. They're both going to be in a different world. And that means you try to take which team is better. And that's clearly the Kansas City Chiefs. I understand they've lost a few games late. I also understand the Los Angeles Chargers are getting players back that have helped that defense out and suddenly have found a run game with Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler. I also understand Kansas City can't stop the run at all. They're in the 30th in DVOA and rush defense. I still can't pick against them. Kansas City -4 is my pick for 5 units because Kansas City is better than Los Angeles. Pat Mahomes rights the ship. They win this game by more than 4 points. Kansas City -4, 5 units. Dangles, your second bet.
We're going to go to San Francisco. I like them at 10.5. I think the Cardinals are terrible.
Everybody does.
I think the Cardinals are terrible. I think this is going to be we need to come out and prove how great we are game for them. I think the Cardinals are going to run into a buzzsaw.
I'm agreeing with you that San Fran will win this game. I just think Arizona's frisky enough to have a backdoor cover in there. But -10.5, San Fran for you. How much units you betting, buddy?
That's going to be 6 units as well.
6 units, San Fran -10.5. I definitely think they win. Don't think that they cover, but again, Dangles, you take what you want to take. Drewby, you're up next.
Thank you, Tony, for that segue. You know, ugly loss yesterday or last week, including the horrid Cincinnati Bengals. That's on me. You won't find me betting them again this year. However, I still want to get ugly this week. I still want to roll in the mud. I want to put lipstick on that pig.
Mm-hmm.
What do I think? When I saw these games this week, one line stood out to me. How are the Washington Redskins favored over anything? Over anybody.
It's only a point. Yeah.
I got them at +2. I got the New York Jets at +2. And just like what you said.
Bovada hasn't won.
There's no way that the Redskins should be favored.
No.
Now, the Jets, I don't know. I think they suck, but yep.
It's because they're home.
But it's not but there's no home field, as our boy Craig would tell us.
Yeah.
At Washington, there'll be more Jets fans than Redskins fans there, and you get the Jets coming off actually a victory against the Giants, where Darnold actually resembled like a first round draft pick. Plus, they just said Gase had a vote of confidence to return. I think that gives him a little boost. I just don't understand how the Redskins are favored. This is strictly a value pick. Give me the Jets plus two here all day.
I'm right there with you.
I like him for 6 units.
6 units, Jets plus two. I almost took them straight money line to win because I think the Jets win this game and it's not even close. But yeah, I don't understand how Washington's favored as well.
They shouldn't be favored against anybody.
I'm going
besides the Bengals.
I'm going back to the well. Yeah, never bet on the Bengals again. It only took you 9 losses to figure that out.
Twice,
let's go to. I am doing against the Drew School of Gambling, but I had this bet made before I learned that Drew said to not take teases and parlays. I'm the only person on this podcast that has won a three-leg bet of any kind, and I almost had the teaser written down, but I realized if I took the money line parlay, it was pretty much the same bet, and I was getting more money. So we're taking a three-team money line parlay. New Orleans is not going to lay another egg. They're not going to lay another egg. I don't care if they're traveling to Tampa. They are going to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because they are one of the best teams in the NFL. Carolina needs a win. Needs a win desperately. And Atlanta just shot their load. We know Atlanta stinks. I know the offense, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, they can do things. They can make you work for it. I would look at the over in that game, but Carolina is going to win that game because they need it. And another team that's not going to lay an egg against one of the worst teams in the league is the Buffalo Bills. And they are the team that I'm worried the most about in this three-team parlay because I hate the Buffalo Bills, but they are not losing to the Miami Dolphins. So, three-team parlay, money line. New Orleans has to beat Tampa, Carolina has to beat Atlanta, and Buffalo has to beat the Miami Dolphins. That pays 5 units I'm gambling on to win 9 units on that three-team money line parlay. It's it, though. Best bets of the week. Dangles, we're going to you first. I have a best bet that's almost a guarantee. I can't wait till this comes back around to me. Dangles, you're up first.
All right, my max bet this week, I'm going to the Baltimore-Houston game.
I
love this game,
game
too.
Game of the week.
The game of the week, it's going to be a lot of fun. So, guys, these two teams put up a lot of fucking yards. The Baltimore Ravens are second in the NFL right now in terms of yards per game, and the Houston Texans fourth. Mm. I'm going with the over in this game. It's only 50. I don't think that's going to be that hard for these two teams to get to. You know, Lamar Jackson signs up for a touchdown pretty easily. Deshaun Watson might run one in. Will Fuller could be back in this game, which means he's going to be throwing the ball deep. I think you got two gunslinging, artful, acrobatic quarterbacks who can extend plays, make shit happen outside the pocket. I like them to hit this over. It's an 8-unit bet. Back up the I can't do Brinks. I can't do Brinks because you've already got Brinks. What is it? A Garda? Back up the Garda truck.
I like that.
I don't know who else carries money.
Baltimore, Houston, over 50 for Dangles. That's his max bet. 8 units spent. Drew, Mr. Max Bet, Mr. Best Bet. He's been hitting them all the time.
Tell
I believe he's 8-1-1.
I'm 8-1-1. That's 88%.
8-1-1 on Best Bet. Let's do it again. Win your ninth. What's your best bet
when
here?
When it matters, Schaefer the Shark.
A record
comes
the Lions
through.
Would kill for.
Thanks, Dangles, because I get it, because they have a tie. Anyway, Schaefer the Sharp's been hot, boys and girls. 8-1-1. I'm going to continue the hot streak today. I will admit, this card was tough for me to kind of signify a best bet. I have a lot of leans I like. I fell on this one. This is going to be sharp, but also going to be more of a gut play. Guys, I watched the entire Atlanta Falcons-New Orleans Saints game. There was nothing fluky about that. There was nothing fluky about that. The Falcons, for whatever reason, I don't know if it was because of the week off, or they had a come-to-Jesus meeting, or whatever. They looked like a team that wants to compete.
They have a
in
lot
the second
of pieces.
Half.
And we've been talking about this
guys,
all year.
Their next-gen stats are incredible. They put up some serious numbers. Now, their
it's not
defense,
like they don't have playmakers.
But listen, their defense has been abysmal. But what did they do? They got to Drew Brees. They put him on the ground. The Panthers' offensive line, pretty suspect. The Atlanta Falcons, plus five. Now, I know what people think. Oh, that was a lucky game. That was a flash in the pan. They've been terrible all year. Look at the record. The Panthers, solid, solid, solid. Guys, I love the Falcons in this spot. +5. I don't know if they're going to win, but they have to be one of the best teams potentially to backdoor in the entire league with that passing offense. Atlanta Falcons, the best bet. I'm going to pull this away for a sec, folks. Watch out.
Unbelievable.
Back up the Brinks truck, baby. Schaefer the Sharp, 8-1-1 best bet. The Atlanta Falcons plus five.
That sounds like a scissor lift.
Great.
It is a scissor lift. I taped that live at an event this weekend. Sorry.
New York City concrete jungle soundtrack over here. Back up the Brings truck. Atlanta plus five for
Back
10 units.
Back up the scissor lift for 10 units.
From the man who is 8-1-1.
You're good. You're springing. You're good.
All right, guys, my best bet, the person who's leading the King of the Coast rankings, the person you should be listening to on this show, the person that will be making you money, Tony Squares. I'm here to give you a bet that has won six of the last 7 weeks. Six of the last 7 weeks this has won. I've bet it personally the last 3 weeks and made money on this. I've been scared to give it out because it's difficult. It's a weird one. It's one you just have to plug your nose and take it, and it's worked out every time. Miami doesn't want to win games. They don't want to win games.
And yet they keep
winning. But they are competitive. They are competitive. And six of the last 7 weeks, Miami first half has hit. The Miami first half line has hit. Six of the last 7 weeks. Right now, Miami is plus three for the first half. Plus three against these Buffalo Bills. I'm going to get a little juicy, though. I'm going to get a little tingly. I like it even more. I'm taking Miami first half money line at plus 180 to be going into halftime with a lead. 10 units to win 18
it's
units.
Our first partial game bet of the year.
First half, 10 units to win 18 units, hosting your Buffalo Bills. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, but they ain't circling until the third quarter or later. I love that bet, and that is it for the Left Coast Gamblers. Drew's looking at me with a weird face.
A tear to my eye, Tony. That's kind of sharp. I hate to say it. That's pretty sharp, and a first half bet is a great play. I'm actually kind of proud, even though you're wearing that sweater.
Thank you, BG, for joining us, buddy.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Brett, awesome having you here, buddy.
Yeah, man.
I had a blast. I enjoyed you telling the story of taking Drew's money, because we're all taking Drew's money, and we're giving it to you. We are making you money on this show. Tony Cavallo, Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crookston. We are the Left Coast Gamblers. We're here every Thursday morning on every listening device you can hear. Give us a review. Give us a like. Give us 5 stars. Help us grow and help us make everybody money in those
Tony,
playoffs.
Can we tell the people where they can find us on social media real quick?
Social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, the Left Coast Gamblers.
Left Coasters Pod. Left Coasters Instagram, Left Coasters Pod on the Twitter.
Let's do it, baby. And as always, we end with a hearty not making the playoffs.
Ram it.
I guess it pays $3,200.
Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and this is Pit Pass F1, a brand new podcast that'll take you closer to the action of the world's most prestigious motorsport. From Monaco to Miami and Australia to Azerbaijan, Pit Pass F1 is on the ground and has you covered. Esteemed F1 journalists Julianne Serasoli and Chris Medland will take you inside the sport every round. They'll keep you up to date with the latest news breaking in Formula One and the most influential views shaping the world of Grand Prix racing. Every Friday, we'll be bringing you a track guide and race preview, and Chris and Drew will be in your feed every morning from Saturday through to Monday to keep you up to date on all the day's action on and off the track. So if you want to be in the know on the latest in Formula One, subscribe wherever you get your favourite podcasts and visit us at evergreenpodcasts.com. Pit Pass F1, a brand new show for Evergreen Podcasts.